Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this segment of Weight Watchers. For today's segment, the main focus is going to be on well-being. Just some healthy living articles, things that we can all relate to regarding stress, our daily lives, cell phones, silence, and some things in between. So to get us started, the first article we're going to do is about four science-backed reasons why you need to book that massage. When you're losing weight, it's important to stay motivated. Non-food rewards for hitting weight loss milestones or for trying a new activity often help keep people motivated and inspired to reach their goal. And what's more rewarding than getting a feel-good massage? A growing body of evidence shows that a rubdown can actually be healthy for you. In addition to simply feeling good, it just might help you fight certain illnesses and beat chronic aches and pains. So here are four reasons to head to the spa. One, it could reduce your stress. Who hasn't had a bad day or a bad week that makes you want to dive face first into your favorite trigger food? A massage is the perfect way to help reduce anxiety. Massage therapy is proven to decrease stress and anxiety levels because it reduces levels of the stress hormone cortisol. Two, it can ease physical pain. Nothing can wreck good gym intentions faster than an aching back or stiff neck. Whether your ache is a result of a chronic pain disorder or because your muscles are sore from your new exercise program, you might want to seek relief at a day spa. Massages stimulate pressure, and they stimulate pressure receptors beneath the skin, which in turn reduces the stress hormone cortisol and substance P, a neurotransmitter related to the sensation of pain. Massage has been found to reduce pain and heal sore muscles by increasing blood flow and reducing inflammation. And one recent study found that a post-workout massage helps subjects' body repair muscle tears faster. Number three, it may tame PMS. The week before your week comes, you're cranky. You have trouble sleeping. You're achy. But there's a relief for your PMS, and it doesn't have to involve chocolate. A small study of 24 women with severe PMS found that massage reduced symptoms such as pain, water retention, and mood swings. More research is needed to confirm these findings, but if you're choosing between a pint of ice cream and a hot stone massage, we say, shut the freezer door and hop on the table. And number four, it may help you get a good night's sleep. When you feel calm and relaxed, chances are you'll sleep better. When you sleep better, you feel good, both physically and emotionally. And when you feel good, you know you can do anything, including reach your weight loss goals. If you're tossing and turning, don't risk being tired and cranky and eating too much to get through the following day. Instead, get a massage and sleep better tonight so you'll eat healthier tomorrow. With that, when you go to get a massage, there's all of these different types of massages and weird words there. And so this next article helps us out a little bit. It's the massage menu translated. Most people do consider massage to be a feel-good reward, and it is. But a buildup of research shows that getting the kinks out can be a terrific addition if you're making a conscious effort toward a healthier lifestyle. Moderate pressure massages activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which controls involuntary action like heart rate and digestion, and may help lower blood pressure while raising feel-good hormones and immune function. Meanwhile, small preliminary studies have shown that massage may be helpful therapy for an eclectic list of health conditions: arthritis of the knee, headaches, carpal tunnel syndrome, restless leg syndrome, and it may even aid stroke recovery. Massage can provide pain relief in cancer patients and may be better than ibuprofen for an achy back. Think of it this way. How else can you feel utterly pampered while potentially improving your health? Here are some of the most popular and widely available massage types and the everyday situations each is best at treating. When you feel stressed or physically worn down, try Swedish. This is the classic style you'll find everywhere, characterized by connected flowing strokes and sometimes tapping or pounding, all designed to boost circulation. Research from Cedars-Sinai Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences found that Swedish massage may increase white blood cell count and decrease cortisol and vasopressin, hormones related to stress. Hot stones are also a popular tool therapists can use instead of their hands while doing Swedish. When you feel fatigued or have sore muscles, try shiatsu. Originally from Japan, shiatsu translates as finger pressure and involves targeted massage on points along with body's meridians, which, as an acupuncture, are the channels through which qi, or energy, is thought to flow. Shiatsu practitioners usually follow a specific protocol while working along the body, removing energy blockages at key points. While the Western scientific jury is still out on qi, shiatsu has been associated with improving stress symptoms, low energy, and muscular problems. It's also convenient. You stay clothed during shiatsu, and there's no oil involved. When you feel muscle and joint tightness, try Thai. Sometimes called Thai yoga massage, this technique involves acupressure, kneading tight massage, and assisted stretching. The practitioner has you lie on a mat, fully clothed, and kneels over you, sometimes bending you into yoga-like positions. Be prepared for this pressure to go deep, as the practitioner sometimes use their feet to work your muscles. The rocking, kneading, and stretching involved with Thai massage helps muscles relax and loosen. When you feel sore or tight from physical activity, or you want to improve mobility, try myofascial release. Muscles are covered in a connective tissue called fascia that can become very tight, sometimes to the point of causing pain. Relieving that tension improves your mobility. Myofascial release is a slow type of massage characterized by deep cross-fiber strokes and stretching. It is usually focused on a specific area, like your back or shoulders, to help break up knots and loosen the fascia. When you feel pain radiating from one spot, try trigger point. Tight muscles can squeeze nerves and cause pain that radiates to other areas. For example, your headache may actually be caused by muscle spasms in your neck. Trigger point massage features deep, targeted friction across small sections of muscles that can cause pain in wider areas. Massage therapists will often keep pressure on a trigger point until it releases. These spots can have knots, and sometimes you may not know they're there until a therapist touches them. And then you feel them. And a last option you can always massage yourself for less than $20. These do-it-yourself tools let you work your problem spots on the cheap. One is a foam roller. A few minutes rolling your hamstrings, glutes, and lower back each night while watching TV can do wonders. The next is a tennis ball. Perfectly portable, excellent for the bottoms of your feet, but useful for any muscle. And last is a massage stick. Far more stylish than a foam roller, but just as effective. You can keep one in your drawer at the office and help yourself throughout the day. Now, a massage can be expensive. Sometimes time-consuming, you may not have that time to carve out in your day. And you may not enjoy massages. The thought of someone else touching your body might not be for you. So here's another article about another way to look at stress relief. It's not massages, it's reading. Reading is something that's simple, that most people enjoy doing, but again, not all. But here is why reading may help your stress slip away. Reading is good for you. If you routinely stay up late, turning the pages, nearly miss your train stop because you're this close to finding out who did it, and your name has practically worn off your library card, you probably know this intuitively. What may surprise you is that reading doesn't just make you smarter. It may make you calmer. Reading has long been known to help us relax. In fact, reading is often recommended as an activity to do right before lights out, as it helps our brains prepare to shut down for sleep. Consider this. Research published in the Journal of Teaching and Learning followed graduate students as they were given 30 minutes of reading, yoga, or humor as ways to ratchet down stress. Reduction was determined via a standard study, as well as measures of heart rate and blood pressure. At the end of the study, researchers concluded that all three were equally effective. Finding out that reading a novel has as much stress-lowering benefit as yoga? Now that's an interesting story. So how can reading possibly calm you? It compels you to be still. The very fact of sitting or lying down and reading a book means your body is at rest. Physical stillness, you can't read while you're dashing around the house, right? Invokes calm by allowing your muscles to let go of tension. It can also be a form of meditation. Reading requires you to focus your mind on what's right in front of you. By engaging the parts of the brain required to read words, comprehend the subject matter, and relate it to a personal experience, reading may crowd out stress. In short, losing yourself in a story actually may promote a sense of meditative calm. It may ease anxiety. Becoming absorbed in a diverting story does two things simultaneously. It takes your mind off an anxiety feedback loop when you're worried about things in your own life that you can't control, like work pressures, financial issues, problems with children or family, and it gives you a whole new set of people and places to think about. You may find that reading a novel about someone who overcame a problem that makes you anxious helps you feel calmer and more in control. At the very least, for the time you're actually reading your book, Your mind is off whatever's making you anxious. It also reduces blood pressure and heart rate. When you're stressed, your body responds physiologically. Blood pressure and heart rate rise. The very act of reading often reduces those reactions. You automatically breathe slower when you're reading, which in turn slows your heart rate and relaxes your blood vessels, allowing blood to flow more easily. So how do we get the most out of reading? Be sure to choose books that speak to you. Sure, reading about mindfulness, stress reduction, or other self-improvement topics may alleviate stress, but that may not work for everyone. A book of spiritual or inspirational vignettes could become your go-to, as can the latest in a series of beach reads or romance novels. Others may find delving into history or biography diverting. Counterintuitively, you may find an edge-of-your-seat thriller or murder mystery weirdly calming. Personal preference should dictate what reading material you turn to, though it stands to reason that you may wish to avoid anything really gruesome or scary. If you're not sure, experiment with different types of reading material. Long or short, you should give yourself enough time to get involved, or re-involved if you're in the middle of a book, for the stress-busting benefits to kick in. Reading is the ideal indulgence. It's guilt-free, calorie-free, and even free-free if you avail yourself of library books, and a great way to reduce stress. But does it matter if you read on a screen? Reading on a screen can be a different experience. Screens emit a pulsing blue light that is stimulating to your brain. So while you still get the escapist benefits of reading, you may not receive the same calming effect that comes from your eyes moving across the page. And you may have more trouble sleeping afterward if you read on a screen at night. If you suffer from insomnia or are interested in practicing good sleep hygiene generally, it's best to power down all screens at least 30 to 45 minutes before shut-eye. This leads us directly into our next well-being article for today. It's about how screen time affects your mood. The last thing anyone needs is an unexpected derailment that makes it difficult to maintain a can-do attitude while you're trying to lose weight or make healthy choices. Enter screen use. For most of us, spending time on smartphones, tablets, and other electronic devices is a normal part of daily life. What isn't so normal? Too much screen use may affect our emotional well-being and has been associated with more anxiety and depression. Scientists have found some reasons why. The first, social media presence. Social media use appears to be the main culprit, primarily because it skews our perception of reality. They don't realize how heavily those things are curated and how careful people are to demonstrate only the most positive things that happen to them on social media. And in comparison, the rest of us can feel sort of inadequate. So what that means is spending more time in that milieu can be related to more depressive or self-esteem issues. For example, if somebody uses 2 hours of social media a day, but it's all on one or two platforms, they have much less risk of having depression compared to somebody who uses the exact same 2 hours a day, but is dividing them up among 9 different platforms. Both the total amount of time spent on social media and the frequency, so how often you check your accounts, have been associated with an increase in depression and anxiety. And the more social media platforms used, the greater chance for depression, anxiety, and other negative emotional outcomes. It's almost like being in high school and trying to be friends with 9 different friend groups. Whereas, if you focus on just a couple groups, you may find a little more of a supportive vibe. When people are socially isolated, they're more likely to be depressed and more likely to not deal with their weight problem or something along those lines. Being online a lot, being on social media more, and feeling more socially isolated may be what's keeping us from a more valuable, supportive, in-person relationship with those around us. Sleep disturbance. We've all heard this one before, but whether it's a smartphone, tablet, computer, or television, using an electronic device late at night can contribute to depression. Messing with electronics late at night affects your sleep cycle, which again is something we've all heard before. For some, sleep disturbance will in turn affect your mood, potentially causing or exacerbating anxiety or depression. To keep screens from wrecking your sleep, give yourself a break before bed. You want to shoot for something much closer to natural darkness for at least 2 hours before you try to fall asleep. Be especially aware of your screen time if bipolar disorder is a concern. When people who suffer from bipolar disorder don't get enough sleep, they're more prone to have mood episodes. They start to cycle between manic phases and depressed phases, so much so that just teaching people to have regular sleep hours is a clearly demonstrated effective treatment for bipolar disorder. If you must use screens before bed, try using special amber-lensed glasses. These glasses have been found to block the blue light that decreases the production of melatonin. They work in about 50% of people. For others, consider blocking the blue light directly on your devices, such as using an app like Night Filter. If you're one of those people who find that messing with your sleep can mess with your mood, then this gives you the means by which you can manipulate your sleep without taking away your electronic devices entirely, which would really be the smartest thing of all. But if you're concerned about your mood, going on a screen time diet may be one way to rein in the blues. Our last article for today is simple and about silence. Silent retreats are a thing, and here's how to find the best one for you. In a noisy world, silent retreats have proliferated. The thought is that silence cuts out the stimuli that distract the brain from what is going on in our bodies, mental and physical. Luckily, there are different kinds of silence retreats to fit your needs and your personality. Once you've settled on an approach, other nuts and bolts considerations include choice of accommodation, from bare bones to relatively luxe, the setting, a mountain, a waterside, or forest, duration, from weekend to extended stays, and price, from donation only to thousands of dollars. One example of a silence retreat are group retreats. Led by facilitators, group retreats can range from highly structured, requiring absolute adherence to the prescribed regimen, to those that merely offer a set schedule of daily meditation and other activities. Of the former, Vipassana retreats are the best known. Buddhist in origin, though not religious, and based on an ancient Indian practice for retraining the mind, Vipassana retreats are Spartan and generally require a 10-day minimum stay consisting of group meditation for 10 hours a day. Those with physical or emotional limitations may require a doctor's approval to attend. If you want more information on this specific type of retreat, you can visit Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A, dharma.org. Less restrictive options, however, include programs offered by yoga and other non-denominational and wellness centers. Amenities tend to be more comfortable than those at Vipassana retreats and often include activities beyond meditation. Another type of retreat? Self-directed retreats. Available year-round in monasteries and various spiritual institutes and wellness centers, self-directed retreats let participants devise their own schedules. You know most of the time what's best for you. And on this sort of retreat, there are some facilities, though, that will assist in custom designing your retreat. But for the most part, you're on your own, and you get the time set aside to take care of you. And lastly, a final type of retreat, which you can consider, is a religious retreat. Offered by most major faith traditions, religious retreats are aimed at those who seek silence as a way to rediscover or deepen beliefs. Some require retreatants to be practitioners of that faith. However, most don't and are open to all faiths. Though the programs may be geared to a specific denomination, and group and self-directed options are available. If you're not able to run away from noise, you could always, as we've said a few times today, lessen the distraction in your life by limiting your screen time or just trying to be more mindful. Keep in mind that every person is different. Every person functions in a different way, and that is okay. If you know what works best for you, don't doubt yourself and go with it. You know you the best. Take care of yourself through different mindfulness techniques, through good eating habits, through simply going outside and taking a walk. With that, try to have a good day, a good week, and a good month. And this is Ariel Schuster, signing off.